I'm Katie Clark. This is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. In recent days, the specter of international terrorism has returned to the United States. The would-be attacker on board the Christmas Day flight from Amsterdam to Detroit failed to spark his explosive device, but he ignited a national debate about security, privacy, and official culpability. Anne Applebaum is a columnist for Slate magazine. She's currently in Poland. Anne, you've just written a piece called Twilight of the Totalitarians. And before we get to the world's totalitarian regimes, I'd like to get your take on the failed Christmas Day bomb plot. You mention it in your piece.
Yes, maybe I may be alone here, in fact, but I don't think it's a major world-changing, earth-shattering event.
Why not?
First of all, it was a failed attack, and from everything we can understand, the bomber was obviously not entirely sane. He didn't manage to set off whatever he was going to set off, and actually it isn't clear that even if he had set it off, he would have blown up the plane or made it crash. It struck me as a very ham-handed way to blow up an airplane, and in fact, if this is the best Al-Qaeda can now do, then, you know, I'm not that afraid of them.
Yeah, you actually write that at the end of this decade, Islamic fundamentalist terrorism is dwindling to the status of major nuisance.
Yeah, so. I mean, I don't want to underestimate it. And, you know, I spent a lot of this decade, in fact, writing about Homeland Security and so on. But, in fact, the point of my piece wasn't really to downplay Islamic terrorism, which will remain a threat, you know, in our lifetimes. The point was to say that there are also other things happening, and there are big changes happening in the world, and if the president is now obligated to spend the next 6 months worrying about airport security in Amsterdam, then we are going to miss out on a lot of what else is happening in the world.
Things like the anti-government rioting in Iran, for instance. I mean, as you look ahead, what do you think that signals for Iran's leaders and for those like them elsewhere?
What the rioting shows is that the Islamic fundamentalist argument in the most powerful Islamic fundamentalist state is failing. The idea that they have legitimacy and that it's divinely ordained legitimacy is no longer accepted by a large proportion of the population. And that has all kinds of knock-on implications elsewhere in the world, in all the places where Iran supports terrorism, in all the states close to Iran, which have seen it for a long time, either positively or negatively, as the standard bearer for these kinds of ideas.
Well, not every authoritarian state is on shaky ground. You also write about China.
Yeah, I was very struck by a story that I didn't think was in the U.S. press at all, but I noticed in a number of other places, which is China's statement that it is now producing the world's fastest train, and that this train is going to connect China's sort of richer coastal cities with its interior, and that, you know, there will now be these very fast, rapid movements between different parts of, you know, what is a very large country. Well, is the U.S. ever going to have a train like that? And I thought, not in my lifetime. It's not just a financial question. You know, we don't have a political system which could lead to the creation of a train system like that. We don't plan in that same kind of way. And what we may be watching is, you know, China moving, not just competing with us, but moving ahead of us.
Your conclusion is in part that it's prosperity and not ideology that keeps authoritarian regimes in power. Yet in recent years...
Well, it's keeping China in power, yes.
Well, in recent years, though, we've been hearing the prevailing theory, at least in the West, it's that prosperity generates a strong middle class, and that in turn creates the conditions for democracy to flourish. Is that theory wrong?
Well, it's never been proven. You know, that's always been an assumption, but it's not a rule. And in fact, what has been rather unique about China and Russia, and to some extent Venezuela and one or two other countries, is that they have in effect done a kind of deal with their publics. You know, we rule, and as long as we give you rising prosperity and you continue to get richer and richer, you know, then we stay in power. I mean, the Chinese have no more ideas anymore about, you know, Marxism or about, you know, creating the perfect society. They've simply done a kind of unspoken deal with the country. It's very, very similar to what happened in Russia. You know, Putin doesn't have an ideology in the old-fashioned sense, but he has a, you know, I will continue to make you richer, you won't complain, and we'll stay in power. But it's a bad sign for both of us. If that should run out or stop, then they're in trouble.
Anne Applebaum's column, Twilight of the Totalitarians, appears in Slate. Good to speak with you.
Oh, thank you.